Hello everyone, I am Hugo Lefebvre, PhD student at the University of Manchester. In this talk, I will present the result of my research on compartment interface vulnerabilities, a work that will appear in NDSS 23. This is the result of a collaboration between Manchester, Bucharest, RICE, and Unicraft.io. Before starting to talk about interface vulnerabilities, let me bring a little bit of necessary background. And a very important notion in this work is compartmentalization. Compartmentalization is about decomposing software into lesser privileged components, such that components only have access to what they need to do their job. Compartmentalization is not particularly something new, so let me illustrate it with a real-world example: web servers. Typically, web servers are composed of components that do, on the one hand, privileged things like listening to port 80, and on the other hand, of other components that perform risky operations like parsing network-provided data. If we have these two components in the same process, then this process has to be root, and that's problematic because if an attacker manages to compromise the network-facing component, for example, then it will immediately own the root process. So what people do in practice is decomposing or compartmentalizing the server into two entities in separate processes: the master, which is privileged and not exposed to risky operations, and the worker, which is deprivileged and exposed to network data. Both entities then communicate over shared memory. Thus, if the worker gets compromised, it will not be able to perform privileged operations and will remain contained. Recently, we have seen really nice advances in the field of compartmentalization. People have been taking more fine-grained, more arbitrary, and more automatic approaches to compartmentalization. And what these work do is taking arbitrary applications, identifying a particular component that may be untrusted or risky, or trusted and critical, and compartmentalizing it automatically or semi-automatically. The granularity of the component can be very variable, ranging from libraries to blocks of code. Notice that I'm talking about compartments here and not processes, as the isolation technology too is very variable. In short, the goal of these works is quite ambitious. It's about compartmentalizing legacy software with a low engineering effort and a low performance cost. Unfortunately, as we're highlighting in this work, things are not as easy as they might seem. In privileged separated software, cross-component interfaces are the attack surface. And there, all sorts of things can go wrong security-wise. Let me give you a few examples. Let's say we have two compartments, one on the left, malicious, and the other one on the right, trusted, protecting some secret. The compartmentalization mechanism guarantees us that compartment one cannot access compartment two's memory directly, so that doesn't work. However, compartment one is still able to do legitimate API calls to compartment two with, for example, an invalid pointer. If compartment 2 doesn't validate the pointer, it will risk exploitation. Another example is the usage of corrupted indexing information, for example, a size, index, or bounds, as is done in this function. Another one is the usage of a corrupted object, such as a tampered file pointer. And there are many others which we'll go through partially in the next slide. In this work, we unify all of these vulnerabilities under the concept of compartment interface vulnerabilities, or SIVs. SIVs encompass traditional confused deputies, IAGO attacks, which are SIVs specific for the system called API, and their references under influence, and probably many others. They are all attacks revolving around misuse of a legitimate interface. SIVs are very common when compartmentalizing unmodified applications, as we further highlight in this talk. They affect all compartmentalization framework because they are a fundamental part of the problem of privilege separation. To put it in more precise words, we define SIVs as the set of vulnerabilities that arise due to lack of or improper control and data flow validation at compartment boundaries. We observe three classes of SIVs: data leakages, data corruption, and temporal violations. Within data leakages, we differentiate between address leakages, which can be leveraged to de-randomize compartments and mount further attacks, and compartment confidential data leakages, which result in information disclosure. Both are due to data oversharing and sharing of uninitialized memory. We have already illustrated a range of data corruption attacks in the previous slide, but generally they are bound to happen in situations where interface crossing data is used without appropriate sanitization. They can affect control as well as non-control data. Finally, temporal violations include vulnerabilities like expectation of API usage ordering, usage of corrupted synchronization primitives, or shared memory time of check to time of use. Temporal violations are usually caused by a wide range of behaviors, including missing copies, double fetches, and generally lack of enforcement of API semantics. This is a broad and succinct overview, but the paper provides a full taxonomy, including an analysis of existing defenses. So, having observed and characterized the problem, we asked a few questions. How many sieves are there at legacy imported APIs? Are all APIs similarly affected by sieves? For example, taking library API generally versus module APIs generally, do we observe systematic differences? How hard are these sieves to address when compartmentalizing? And finally, how bad are they? If for some reason you don't fix one of them or just decide to not fix them at all, what is the impact on the guarantees that compartmentalization can give to you? We believe that it is really critical to understand these points to be able to provide countermeasures that are adequate, systematic, and usable. And so the approach that we take in this work to answer these questions is to design a tool, and more particularly a fuzzer, specialized to detect sieves at arbitrary interfaces, and we call this tool ComFuzz. Then we apply ComFuzz at scale to a range of applications and interfaces to gather a dataset of real-world sieves. Finally, we study, systematize, patternize the resulting dataset to extract numerous insights on the problem of sieves in compartmentalization. In the next slides, I will give a quick overview of ComFuzz before focusing on the dataset and insights. So let me give you a high-level overview of the fuzzer first. Taking unmodified applications, we instrument them to intercept cross-compartment calls. Compartments are freely defined, for example, a particular library boundary or an internal component interface. We based our prototype on dynamic binary instrumentation using Intel PIN, but also explored other instrumentation approaches, for example, LLVM-based. The interface between the trusted and untrusted components is automatically detected using binary debug information. Our fuzzing monitor then drives the exploration by ordering mutations of the data flow to simulate attacks from the malicious compartment to the trusted compartment. The workload used to drive the program is application specific, for example, benchmark tools, test suites, custom workloads, etc. You could even plug another fuzzer like OSS Fuzz there. Finally, the fuzzer automatically triages and stores crash reports that includes deduplicating, reproducing, minimizing, etc. The paper provides much greater details on these technical matters, and I will be happy to elaborate if you have questions. Using ComFuzz, we gathered a substantial dataset that we carefully dissected. Here you can see the paper's big table that summarizes the dataset. Let's have a closer look at it. Overall, we applied ComFuzz to 25 applications and 36 APIs for a total of 39 scenarios. We considered a selection of library APIs, module APIs, and internal component APIs, trying to focus on scenarios that make sense in popular software. In fact, 16 of these scenarios have been previously considered by about 12 studies in the literature, and the attacks that we find apply to them as well. In total, we find 629 sieves. We classify these sieves in 5 impact classes: read impact, write impact, execution, memory allocator corruption, and null point interference. With this data, the first questions that we try to answer are, how many sieves are there at legacy or unmodified arbitrary APIs? And are all APIs or code similarly affected? And looking into this, we quickly confirmed that sieves are absolutely widespread among unmodified APIs or code. Having said that, we also highlighted significant disparities of prevalence among scenarios, and that's the really interesting part. For example, we observed variations of SIF counts from 0 to 105 across APIs. That's quite significant. Take a look at this plot, which represents for each scenario the number of vulnerable API endpoints versus non-vulnerable. It clearly shows that SIF prevalence among applications and APIs is very heterogeneous. We have large and almost totally SIF-free APIs and small and fully vulnerable APIs. In fact, we show an entire absence of correlation between API size and SIF count in this dataset. So while clearly, yes, SIFs are widespread, no, not all APIs are similarly affected. This motivates us to look into the patterns and effects that influence these observations. And doing so, we observe recurring API design patterns that result in SIFs. This really comforts us in the idea that the presence of SIFs is influenced by structural properties of the API rather than API size or quantity of shared data. In this talk, I will present one of these patterns, but there are more in the paper. And the particular pattern I want to go through concerns modular APIs. Indeed, we noticed that modular or module APIs are the most SIF vulnerable interfaces in our study. On average, we observed that module APIs feature more SIFs and worse SIFs than any other class of APIs. And looking at the structure of these interfaces, it makes sense. Unlike library APIs, module APIs must be very generic and yield high performance. As a consequence, we have patterns with the application exposing its core internals and its core state to the module to achieve their genericity and performance. But this results in a much larger attack surface exposed to the module. Take the example of this data structure exposed to potential malicious modules by the Apache HTTP core. It is a very complex with over 75 fields, 60% of which pointers, referencing core data structures like memory pools, connection state structures, or mutexes. What we observe with this pattern is a somewhat counterintuitive thing. Modularity is not always good for compartmentalization, and in many cases, it can even be counterproductive. This is only one of the patterns that we highlight, and there are more in the paper. Now, having shown that SIFs are widespread but affecting applications unequally, or APIs, let's look at their concrete security impact. And the first thing that we confirm is that they are quite impactful. In fact, over 75% of scenarios present in our dataset show at least one write vulnerability. And worse than that, about 70% of write and read and 50% of execute vulnerabilities are arbitrary, which means that when the attacker controls a write or read primitive, then they are likely to be able to read and write anywhere. And while only a smaller proportion of these scenarios have execution impact, it is likely that read and write primitives will be combinable to achieve execution capabilities. In this talk, I will be concretely illustrating this impact with practical scenarios and real-world SIFs taken from the dataset, where we demonstrate key extraction from a protected OpenSSL. Once again here, we show more details in the paper. So here we assume a scenario with two compartments, where the goal is to isolate OpenSSL, for example, from a compromised web server Nginx. Isolating OpenSSL or part of OpenSSL is a popular application of compartmentalization, both in the literature and in the industry. Thus, here, the compartment interface and therefore the attack surface is the OpenSSL public API. Unfortunately, we find several SIFs that enable for read, write, and execution impact. Take this option setting primitive, for example, which is part of the OpenSSL public API. It dereferences an interface crossing pointer, sets it, and returns it, clearly resulting in an arbitrary read and write oracle. Any attacker that can compromise the application's control flow will likely be able to extract SSL keys easily. Thus, clearly, if the API is not carefully enough sanitized, the benefits will be pretty low, at most a form of weak hardening. Now, you could tell me that it's not a good idea to protect at the public API anyways, and that we should rather choose the OpenSSL internal key API that's much smaller. So let's take a look at it. This time we have Nginx and most of OpenSSL in the entrusted compartment, while we have the small key handling part of OpenSSL together with the keys in the protected compartment. Unfortunately, here too, we find several SIBs. Take a look at this function of the internal key API, for example. I only put the signature for simplicity's sake because the function is implemented in per-generated assembly. You can manipulate the in pointer to point to the key that you cannot directly access, encrypt with a known key, and then decrypt to get the secret. Hence, here again, attackers that can manage to compromise the application are likely to be able to easily extract the key. Unfortunately here, fixing these sieves requires to make the component stateful, which is a fairly drastic design change. Overall, through these two examples, I showed how existing OpenSSL isolation strategies collapse when confronted to sieves and how important they are security-wise. To conclude this talk, let's take a quick look at countermeasures. How do we tackle sieves? Overall, we see two ways. First, making progress on automatic and systematic countermeasures. Our paper highlights their limitations as part of our sieve taxonomy. Second, learning from our study of patterns, we also believe that software component APIs should be designed to feature low compartmentalization complexity in the first place. We provide a set of guidelines to achieve this. The two approaches are complementary. Even in the presence of countermeasures, well-designed APIs are wishable, as the first point is known to be fundamentally hard. I will not have enough time to go over all the guidelines, but let me try to give you the gist of them. First, not every interface is a good boundary for privilege separation. Maybe a particular API doesn't fit privilege separation, and that's fine. In this case, it will be hard to harden anyways. Second, we recommend that major attention should be dedicated to reducing the complexity of interface crossing objects, avoiding, for example, sharing of system resource handles, complex structs, synchronization primitives, etc. If this is not possible, it should bring us back to the first point. The interface is probably not the right point to compartmentalize, for example, because components are too deeply entangled. Third, compartmentalizable components should enforce API semantics to be safe, for example, ordering or concurrency support. Under distrust scenarios, it is not acceptable anymore to assume that the caller will respect them or face the consequences. We are slowly coming towards the end of this talk, so let me summarize the key points that I wanted to make. Sieves should be at the center of every compartmentalization approach, and you will likely not achieve tangible security benefits without considering them. API design patterns influence the presence of sieves and their severity. Overall, it's not so much about the size of the API, it's about the complexity of API crossing objects. Addressing sieves is not just a matter of writing a few checks. In fact, strong solutions often require refactoring the API. Thus, compartmentalizing apps goes much further than just setting and enforcing bounds. We want this work to be an appeal for more research towards addressing the problem of sieves, systematically finding them, addressing them, or telling you what interface make good compartmentalization boundaries. If you are interested in this work, I invite you to check out our paper and the code and dataset of COMFUZZ. I will now be more than happy to take questions. Thank you.